I'd like to thank Nathan for leading that song, 643. If you'd like to keep that song open, because that's going to be our outline this morning, Victory in Jesus. Yesterday, I attended the memorial service of Alma, as some of you did, and the last speaker that got up, I thought he was going to teach my lesson there, because he talked about the victory in Jesus and how Alma was going to overcome that. And I had asked Austin to read 1 Corinthians 15:54, which goes along with this lesson. This song, Victory in Jesus, was written by Eugene Monroe Bartlett. Let's see if I can get this on. And he lived, he was born Christmas Day 1885 and lived to 1941, January of 1941 at his passing. He only lived about 56 years, and he was considered the founding father of the Southern gospel music. he was born in Waynesville, Missouri, and he relocated to Sebastian County in Arkansas. And he dedicated his life to Jesus at an early age. And he attended the Hall Moody Institute in Martin, Tennessee, and in William Jewell College in Liberty, Missouri. Bartlett lived in the South, enjoyed a reputation as a fine music teacher. And based in Arkansas, he traveled the entire southern portion of the country, holding singing schools for anyone interested. And these and similar schools trained aspiring musicians in the vocal technique, sight reading and conducting, and were influential in the development of church music as a whole for the remainder of the century. Eugene Bartlett Sr. met and he married Joan Tatum in 1917, and they were parents of two sons, Gene Bartlett Jr., who was a nationally known writer of contemporary church music, and Charles Bartlett, who was a minister of music in a large Texas church. He was a very successful businessman, and he invested his money, which he founded the Hartford Music Company in Arkansas around 1918. And within the first year of business, he sold more than 15,000 copies of a hymn book. And many writers and singers and musicians received their first opportunity in gospel music at the Hartford Music Company, including Albert E. Brumley. He was the author of I'll Fly Away, and many of us remember. And there's got a lot of songs in this book. And I was going to do that one, but I figured I'd do Bartlett first, since he's the one who taught him or gave him the opportunity. His Bartlett's mission was to publish hymns and teach singers to sight read. He hired instructors to teach voice, piano, piano tuning, rudiments, harmony, and stringed instruments. He was also the editor of a music magazine, Herald of Song, and his son Eugene Jr. was also a hymnist and composer. When he was not instructing, Bartlett was an avid composer of hymns and gospel songs. Though most of his songs have sunk into oblivion among the Christian body today, Victory in Jesus remains one of the most popular and widely known songs of the church. In 1939, a stroke rendered Bartlett partially paralyzed and unable to perform or travel, and he spent the last 2 years of his life bedridden. And amid such bleak circumstances, he wrote his final and most beloved song, Victory in Jesus. And it's it's the number of that has been sung by millions in worship services and recorded by gospel's biggest names. And only 2 years after his stroke, Bartlett died January 25th, 1941, and he's buried in Oak Hill Cemetery in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. He was inducted into the Gospel Music Association Hall of Fame in Nashville, Tennessee in 1973. So, with the song Victory in Jesus. We'll use this as our text and as our outline. He starts off, "I heard an old, old story." And most of us have heard that old, old story. How a Savior came from glory, referring to Jesus and the Gospels. As we're studying on Sunday morning, we have read how Jesus started his ministry. And in 1 John 4, 9 through 10, there John tells us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And in John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All of us who have come to know Jesus, believers, have heard that old story, that old, old story. And we thank God that Jesus was willing to come from glory to save us from the sins of this world. I heard of his groaning and his precious life atoning. Jesus said in Luke 23:33-34, I think I'm ahead of myself. Right? Oh, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. In Luke 23:33-34, and he says, "And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' In John 10, verse 15, Jesus said, 'I lay down my life for the sheep.' And in John 10, 17, he said, 'I lay down my life that I may take it again.'" I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Mark 15:37 says, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost." And in Matthew 27:46-47, says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calls for Elias.'" And in verse 50, Jesus, when he cried out again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. In John 19:34, it says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water." And in Hebrews 9:22, he says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission." The next words I heard about his healing, "Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. And when I heard this old, old story, I repented of my sins and I won the victory." When we are in Jesus, when we were baptized and we repented of our sins and we decided to live our lives for Christ, then we began our road to victory. The next verse, I heard about his healing and his cleanser power revealing. In most of the Gospels, whereas we've been studying the Gospels, there's a lot of miracles that were performed by Christ, healing that he did for others. And in Mark 1, verse 40-42, says, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, 'If thou wilt, thou can make me clean.' And Jesus said, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And in 1 John 1:9, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Continuing with those miracles, we remember in Mark the 8th chapter, verse 23 through 25, it says, and he, Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And when Jesus had led him by the hand, he removed the spiritual blindness. And then he cried, then I cried, Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And when we refer to him as Psalms 34 through 8, 34 verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. And as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1:12. In the third verse, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. John 14:1-3, there, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea. In Revelation 21, there, verse 10 through 23, the writer says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. Revelation 13:8, he says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. We know that if we're in Jesus, when we pass from this earth, that we will be up there and sing that song of victory as Sister Alma is. These three verses in the refrain, which, O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. These three verses and the refrain enthusiastically tell of one's own personal salvation experience from beginning to end. It is said that Bartlett missed traveling and teaching, but he could still read the Bible and study, from which he gave us the wonderful song during a time when much of the earth sat on the brink of World War II. The song first appeared that year in the Gospel Choruses, a paperback songbook published by James Vaughan in Luxembourg, Tennessee. And during this time, we saw the beginning of World War II, and in him, after the stroke that he had, he was bedridden and couldn't travel anymore, but this song was his legacy. And at this time, let us stand and sing number 299.